I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to episode number 5 of Bat Chat. Thank you for joining us for another week on the journey of the Bendigo Bats on the latest edition of Bat Chat. We'll be talking about all things round 2 of the Athletics Victoria winter season that happened on the weekend. We've got some listener questions to go through this week, so it was good to have some listeners write in some questions that we'll be able to discuss. And we'll be talking about Andy Buchanan, my co-host's post-marathon training. So thank you for giving up some time. I know there's a lot of running podcasts out there. And this is a bit of a joke one, so I'm really pleased that you've decided to download it and listen to it, and we really appreciate that. So a big welcome to my co-host, the 212 Marathoner, the king of cross country down here in Australia. He's fresh off a win, Andy Buchanan. Welcome to this week's episode.
Thanks, Brady. Yeah, it's going to be good to be on the other side. Matt and I did this podcast last week, and it's very challenging, so I'm looking forward to you running the show and knowing what you're talking about and just answering some questions and talking bulk shit as per normal.
Hey, you guys did a good job. I enjoyed listening to it. Like, I created Tell Me Your Tales, which then led to Inside Running because I wanted to listen to a running podcast, and I'm like, well, no one else is doing it, I'll do it. So then when people like that, like when I'm off Inside Running, I enjoy listening to it. Like when I'm not on this, I enjoy listening to it. So it gave me a lot of joy running along. I think it was Friday morning. Listen to you guys talk about it. And I must admit, I think it was because that time, like Tell Me Your Tales, like the big platform that I started the podcast on. And I reckon there'd be about 150 episodes on there. And it must be the first time I wasn't actually on an episode. So I'm like, yeah. That's pretty cool, pretty special.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I think we'll definitely get better, but it was good fun. And kudos to Matt. I think that's like the second podcast he's ever been on, and we're kind of fumbling our way through it. But it was good fun, and yeah, hopefully we can provide a bit more content for you to listen to, Brady, because you definitely give up a fair bit of time, and it's a little bit more stressful when you're kind of thinking, what am I going to ask next, and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be good to be, I don't know, having you running the show a bit tonight. But
well, my secret is pretend the audio recording is not on. I'm like, it's always just a conversation about running, whoever you're talking to, and most of the time people relax and then you get some pretty good content out of it. So it's just you and me, Andy, talking, all things running. I did enjoy the digs at Jake Robinson. I also enjoyed the digs that you guys had at the local Bendigo footballers, calling their quality of football no good. And you should come watch a cross-country race in Bendigo if you wanted to see some real athletes. So I got a few laughs out of last week's episode.
Yeah, that's good. Hopefully you didn't get too much hate mail coming through. But yeah, we're just trying to chat up I think the main purpose for me behind that episode was just try to chat up all the good things we were doing on the weekend. We timed it perfectly with the weather. As most people in Victoria and probably most of Australia know, it's been very cold of late, whereas on Saturday I was actually warming up in a T-shirt, which to think about that now, that seems like a pretty crazy thought actually.
And that course wouldn't have handled the rain too well either. Like, there were a couple of slippery bits, and that was with not much rain. Like, I think it might have rained 48 hours before. So we got away. Like, that would have been a terrible day. Well, not a terrible day. It just would have made things a whole lot muddier and the race a whole lot slower. And just like chilling out at the end, having a beer, kind of relaxing. Like, that wouldn't have been great if we were all drenched. But I'm sure we'll get into all things Bendigo cross country season round two in a second. But first, I want to hear about your week leading into it. So we're talking on Inside Running this week. You had 2 weeks between the 2:12 debut marathon and Gells Park, and then was it another 3 weeks between Gells Park and this? So were you 5 weeks post-marathon going into this, or was it four?
I'm pretty sure it's five. I'll be able to tell you. I've got my Strava open here, so I can tell you. So Hamburg Marathon was on the 24th of, where are we? April there.
Yeah, that's
So,
five then, isn't it?
yeah. But it's actually funny. I actually felt a lot better at Gels, and I think there's a few reasons for that. I think obviously being part of the relay, it being very close and the atmosphere, and also Gels is a very, I classify as a very easy cross country course compared to some others. And I'd say on the weekend was a on par slash harder cross country course. But at Gels, I felt fine. Like, I didn't feel lethargic. I body felt good. I actually felt better than probably what I normally would. But on the weekend, I was just, yeah, I don't know. I just don't feel as fit. But I think it's because I'm in that awkward stage where I've only just started doing sessions, so that my body's still kind of getting used to running fast. You know, when you don't do sessions for a little bit, and it takes you a week or two for your body to get used to running fast again. So yeah, I'm at a funny stage where I know the fitness is there, but I don't feel it. And on Saturday, I kind of got around a lap, and I was like, oh geez, if someone went past me here, I don't know how much I'd have to give. So
Yeah, I guess it's that, like, post gels, you're probably still similar fitness that you were for Hamburg. Like, you don't lose a lot of fitness in 2 weeks. And if anything, I guess, you might gain some fitness because of the marathon effort. And definitely, like, your mentality and stuff as well. Like, dropping back down to a 6K after a marathon feels like a walk in the park. And you had that whole, like, vibe of the last leg in the relay and the emotion around that. But then this one, you're kind of 5 weeks on. You're probably tired from the 2 weeks where you've been back training, but then not benefiting from that fitness yet. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need four or five strong weeks to, like, get fit again.
It's kind of like jet lag. Like, I feel like the day you land, you kind of just, like, you're running off adrenaline a bit, and you're kind of like, oh, this isn't too bad. And then you kind of, the fatigue starts to build in day three, four, five, and that's when you feel the worst. So that's kind of what I'm going through at the moment with the weeks. And yeah, with my running week, the last week, I've just been kind of chatting to Scotty and just kind of doing as I please. He's kind of let me. I've said a few sessions, and he's like, yeah, you just do as you feel like you want to do. So I've just been picking sessions I enjoy, which has been really good, because normally it's pretty structured, and he gives me a pretty good idea of what splits I should be hitting and that kind of stuff. Whereas the last week, it was very much just get around, do a little bit of hard running, don't flog yourself, which has been good.
Yeah, I always think, like, from a coaching point of view, it takes a month or 26. I like that day for every mile, like 26 days to fully recover. And then I reckon it takes another month to get back to your pre-marathon fitness. So if I'm talking to people about, like, planning in ne their next race, I'm like, well, we kind of need 2 months. You need a month to recover, then we need a month to string some good training together, and then you can think about an A race. Like, yeah, you might be able to do a B or a C race, in that fourth or fifth week after it, when you're getting back into workouts and back into sessions, but it's very hard to pull off another A race within 8 weeks of a marathon. I know people do it, and there's, like, outliers and stuff, but that's just a general thing that I've found.
Yeah, I'd agree. And I think one thing I've been finding is it's nearly half physical but also half mental, in that you need to let your body recover, but I found I'm also needing to let the mind recover and the motivation to come back. Because I think I put a lot of energy and effort into the marathon. So I think it's like this week it's been coming, but last week I was kind of like, I don't have the motivation to go and do sessions. Whereas, like, pre-race, you get excited about these big marathon sessions, and it's yeah, it's all that kind of stuff. So I think yes, Scott with me, he didn't want me doing any hard efforts, any hard running at all for 3 weeks, but I kind of broke that rule at Gels.
Got to win a relay.
Yeah, all for the relay, so all for the bats. But, so it's ticking along pretty well at the moment. This week I'm just focusing on getting my mileage back up. And I'll do a bit of a marathon session on Friday, but I won't focus on paces. It's just more so getting the legs used to the mileage. I think I'll do probably 4x4K on Friday, and hopefully get my mileage back up to around 170-ish. So therefore the marathon training can start the week after, kind of thing. Yeah. So that's where I'm at the moment.
And you're right about that mental stuff, because there's stuff that you put on hold. Like there's balls that you kind of drop in your life. Like I know you're on school holidays, but there's some work stuff that you would have put down and then you have to pick up and probably pick up a bit more because you've missed it for 2 or 3 weeks when you did the marathon, and relationship stuff, people that you haven't seen for a while that all of a sudden you want to spend more time with. And there's just a lot of other life stuff, I think, that happens post-marathon that you've got to put energy into.
Yeah, well, prime example was this XCR event on the weekend. I was kind of part of the organising committee and felt a bit bad because I was kind of, Tim Crosby came to me and said, oh, can you find us a course? And then we found a course, it worked really well, and then it was like, all right, here's all this work we have to do, and I pissed off to Europe for 3 weeks. So, there was a bit to do there, but it was, I think just... And I've just been enjoying all the things I couldn't enjoy mid-marathon block, like eating what I want and, I don't know, all those things that you sacrifice. And so I've just kind of had a few weeks of being a remotely normal person, I suppose you could say.
Yeah, that's it. And you're talking about like building mileage. I think your long runs, they've been pretty solid the last couple of weeks, like you've been over 2 hours.
Yeah, so just getting up to around, I think it was probably 90, then 145, and then 2 hours, and then 215, I think. On the weekend was 220, and I'll probably be back up to 2.5. That's kind of that's the standard, the kind of bread and butter that Scott likes for me. And when you get used to it, you actually feel like anything less than probably 220 or 215 is not a long run. Like, you kind of get so used to doing 2.5. You don't do that, it feels quite funny. So I'm looking forward to doing 2.5, but at the same time, with the group in the mornings, we start at 7, and I like to finish with them because it's just, I don't know, mentally it kind of sucks, the group finishes and you have to go and do another 30 minutes or something, so I like to get there half an hour early. But I have enjoyed of late starting at 7, starting with the group rather than getting there at 6:30 and doing stuff beforehand, so that'll be a bit of a adjustment for me going forward.
A 6:30 start in the middle of summer is completely different to June as well, because it's pitch dark. It feels like it's 2:30 a.m. at 6:30 a.m.
Yeah,
it's cold and it's like in Bendigo it gets to like -1, -2 on some of those Sunday mornings. It's pretty sad time to be out there jogging along.
It is, but I enjoy it. Like if we had to put up with it for like, I don't know, 8-10 months of the year, I'd hate it, but like we really only get those extremes for a month or two, so I just try and, I don't know, I think back to those boiling hot days where it's so bloody hot, so that's what I think of when it's freezing cold, and I try and enjoy it for what it is and not wish away the season, because I like every season because every season kind of offers something different. Like I love in summer, you kind of, you know, you get a really good tan, you take the shirt off, it's good, you bloody smash heaps of frozen cokes. But then, like, winter, having a run in the morning, coming home, having a hot shower, you can't beat that. So it's trying to make the most of it.
Yeah, Bendigo does have it, like, extremes as well. Like, there'd be long runs that you start at 7 a.m. in summer where it's 24, 25 degrees when you're starting. And there'll be one or two where you start in -3.
Yeah, it's a bit like Canberra, actually. Like, Canberra has the extremes, and Bendigo's kind of similar. We're always a few degrees hotter or colder than Melbourne. You guys are pretty similar, actually.
They're probably similar to you guys,
a little bit hotter, but probably similar on the cold side. So. Yeah,
all those inland kind of communities in Victoria there, away from the beach, I think, away from the mountains. That's good. And you kind of did bring up the point about marathon workouts and training. The Commonwealth Games team still hasn't been fully announced yet. We've heard that there's two males selected in Liam Adams and Jack Rayner. How are you feeling? One female, Sinead Diver. We're yet to hear the full team.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised Jack's name was announced, like I think a lot of people were. So I didn't expect that. But that's okay. I don't know.
That make you feel better or worse for your chances?
Probably worse, because it was kind of like, well, if they've named two, why? Like, and I knew Liam was going to be announced, so I was always expecting to see his name there, but I wasn't expecting to see Jack's. So probably made me feel less confident. But I couldn't imagine being in this position for like an Olympic spot, because it's, I don't know. I know a lot of people are invested in it, but it's like, I think I got asked five times, like, oh, yeah, has it been named yet? And it's like, nah, still got to wait another like 2-3 weeks kind of thing. And you tell the story and you're like, oh yeah, this person's been picked. Well, this person got picked. They haven't ran a marathon. Oh, why'd they get picked? Like, and it's just like, I don't know. So yeah, I'm just kind of sitting waiting, just pretending as if it's going ahead with training, I suppose.
Yeah, which is a smart thing to do. Imagine if you didn't and then you got picked and you're like, oh yeah, could have started this 2 or 3 weeks ago, this preparation.
Yeah, because it's coming around quick. Like, I think it's about 10 or so weeks away, I think.
I think we worked out it was 8.
Yeah, right. Jeez, that's
8 is 50. It's the end of 57, July, isn't it?
Yeah, 57 days. I've got the I don't know that off the top of my head. I've got the Com Games. Because I was actually looking at what day it was on. It's got a little countdown on it.
Yeah, 57 days, so that's 2 months. That's
yeah, I haven't been counting down in my head, I promise. But
so
yeah,
2 week taper, that's 6 weeks of training.
Yeah, exactly. Which I'm not that stressed about, because I know it's there. I've just done it, and I know if I do, I feel like I could do like 3 or 4 good marathon sessions, and I'd be pretty good. And I'm planning on doing Gold Coast halves. That's going to be a race, but also that's going to be beneficial, I think, for the marathon as well. So yeah, it should be good fun. Actually, I haven't done a half since 2019. So
yeah, and I guess for you, like if you do go, the turnaround's pretty quick from Hamburg, so you don't need a full 10-12 week marathon block. You just need to rely on that fitness and top it up a bit if possible.
Yeah, exactly. So it's I don't know, plans if it's going ahead, but then we'll go from there.
Awesome, mate. Well, let's get on to Bat Chat. That was a good little interview, bit of chat. Let's talk about what happened on the weekend. We'll start with, do you want to start with the juniors? You know more about the juniors than I do. Do you want to start with some junior results? I've got 3 tabs of the results open here. The thing that caught my eye was the, I was warming up and I saw, I think it was the under 18 men, 3 bats straight to the front.
Yeah, so under 18 men, we've got a pretty competitive little group there. So we had a lot of juniors running, which was really pleasing to see actually, across all the different races. But that race was won by Jaden Padgham, so he's a former national champ over steeple, and Harry Boyd was second. So there was 2 seconds between them, and Harry was second by the bloke who got third from Butterfly from Ballarat. He was the same time as Harry, so pretty close race actually. But it was good to see the boys go 1-2 there. That's pretty special in their home race. And then we also had Logan Tickle, who finished in 5th. He's unlucky because it's under 18s, but he's actually still 15 because he's a young year 10. And then the way the age groups work, so
they go age at the end of the year, don't they?
Yes, they do. So, but good to see 2 boys on the podium there, going 1-2 it. I found it really set the scene for the day, and it was pretty cool to see heaps of people cheering them on, which is something we don't see that much, and it set the tone for the a few of the other juniors and then also the open athletes. So it was pretty exciting race, actually.
And then Max Rowe in 14th, so we've got 4 kids in the top 14.
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually. And then Tim Creer, he was 16th. So he was invite, but he's also another Bendigo Bendigo person. Then Mason Woodward 22nd, Tom MacArthur 23rd, Tanner Fear in 26th. But those first 4 boys are all from the same high school here in Bendigo, so that's that's pretty cool to have four in the top 16 in a state competition, all from the same high school.
Yeah, I could never remember that happening in my time following the junior results or when we went through juniors. It was, I don't know if anyone, did you get a medal as a junior?
Nah.
I used to get a couple of those Vic Country ones, you know, like when it's like, oh yeah, you've come 18th, but you were the third fastest Victorian country person, so we're giving you a medal. It's like, oh, cheers.
The easy medal.
Easy medals, yeah. Tully Rowe in under 20s, she was second.
Yeah.
15:34.
Yep, good run for her.
Bit of silver from her.
Yeah, so it's she was pretty happy with that result. She's raced that girl a fair bit, so but for her to get on the podium, like, rewarding of her hard work. She's probably the most consistent trainer out of all the juniors that I coach, and it's probably the most tricky thing with her is telling her to stop running. She just loves running, but it's that's really pleasing to her, for her to get a medal, and she was pretty stoked with that. And then also, Phoebe Lonsdale, one of her close friends, she finished third in the under 18s, I'm pretty sure. So that's another good result. So plenty of silverware going around in the Bats junior team, which is pretty pleasing.
That is good, yeah. 11:54 from Phoebe. Is that Tully, how many years has she got left in under 20? When will she be like in the senior bat team?
Yeah, so she has just turned 18. She turned 18 in April. Okay. So she'll have another year there. And then we've also got Taryn Folletti, who's also under 20. So they've got a good little relay team where Phoebe will run up for the relays. And I don't know, I don't really want to push her into open just yet, because there's quite a big jump from under 20 to open in terms of distances and that kind of stuff. So I'm all for her running those junior races until she's too old, essentially. So
yeah. Yep, we'll move on to the next race, where I think we could have some people in the under 16s. Do you know anyone off the top of your head that needs a shout out?
Men,
I don't think. I'm just going through the results here.
Yeah,
The women we had, Genevieve Niall.
Yep. So she's a true bat. She transfers on a Tuesday. So that's a good. I think this seventh. Is her first. Yeah, her first XCR race ever. So she kind of. She was a good runner, contacted me, was keen to do some training, and she trains with us on a Tuesday night, kind of runs 2-3 times a week, still very green to the sport, so for her to get seventh, she was actually finished a second behind Phoebe, and that's how strong her age group is, because Phoebe got third in the under 18s, and Genevieve finished 1 second behind her and finished seventh in the younger age group. But she's definitely one to watch. In the future, I think she'll be contending for medals and a really good runner for our women's open team.
And Chelsea Tickle just missed a medal. She was fourth in her race, 17:09.
Yeah, so I think Chelsea got a little bit excited, probably went a little bit too hard too early, from what I hear, but she'll learn from that, and she backed it up with a win at the LMR cross country on Tuesday, so she's back in good form, which is good.
That's good. Go to men's open team now. So the Bats got their second win of the season, 2 from 2. A combined score, let me pull this up, 104, was it 103? Do you know off the top of your head? It's changed a few times.
108.
108, where you're finishing the race. That's how many points you got, 108. So we had first with Andy. I was sixth. Nathan Stoat was seventh. Matt Buckle was 25th. Archie was 33rd. And Jamie the Beast Cook was 36th. That adds up to 108 points. Beat Western A's, they were 155, and Box Hill, 218. So done it pretty easy in the end. You know, we could have had you... We did it that easy that you could have not been there, and our next runner, who is our first Divi 4 person, 43 points, we still would have won.
Yeah, I've had a few people say that, but it's... I don't know. I was actually standing there waiting for everyone to come across, and yeah, I saw a lot of Western A athletes, but I think because you look at them and they're 22nd, 26th, 27th, 29th, so you kind of like, it seems like there's a lot, but obviously us having those first three in the top seven really helps. But it's I don't know, everyone says it's easy to turn up to Jowls and win because that's the one everyone wants to do. So it was a good result for us, and you don't see many scores of 108. So I think it was a good team result. Good to see the Beast getting in there for sixth runner. And yeah, good to see you and Nate fighting it out there in that battle pack. I'm actually a bit jealous because I never listening to you on the day and then the next day, like just it's like battle stories of like this person oh, yeah. made a surge, this person did that. Whereas I never get, I don't get much of that. Like, and I'm actually a little bit jealous.
Yeah, well, our pack's a bit bigger, so we have like we had like 10 guys in our pack, and it was good because there was a lot of people and it was competitive. But it meant that someone was always feeling good. So it's like, yeah, I remember like going into that second lap, like Nate Stoke just goes around us all, starts moving, and I'm just like, okay, here comes Nate. Like he's good at the back end. Like he's strong. He's run 29:30 recently. I'm like, he's going to work this the whole way home. And then he gets like 300, 400 meters and you're like, okay, he's just relaxed a bit here. And then Douglas Buckeridge goes around and it's like, oh shit, now we've got to cover this move. And then I was feeling really good halfway through the second lap. So I'm like, okay, I'm going out to, because we were still trying to pick up people as well at that stage. So we were trying to pick up Jesse Dunsmore, Tom Thorpe, was it Will Collins from Knox? Like there was a few guys dropping off that lead pack. So we had quite a battle in picking guys up, trying to drop them, they were trying to stay with us, and then really just and then Liam Adams caught us as well. So yeah, it was a really unique race because I think we say a K to go, there would have been if you won the sprint, you were coming fourth. If you lost that pack, you were coming tenth. And I think that's why in the footage, I'm not sure if you watched the AV video, you see us all pretty much fall across the line because I don't think I've been that cooked after a race in a long time because you know there's so many valuable points up for grabs there. And you just it was just super competitive and you're like trying to take bodies and trying to score the best score you can. And you just had to try and stay with the pack and, finishing on a hill. Not sure whose idea was that. That's probably yours, but that got the best of us, and it was good when I hit the deck, like trying to breathe. It was good to look around and see like six other guys doing the same thing. It's like, okay, I'm not over exaggerating this.
I thought you guys got sent the wrong way or something and had to run up an extra hill that I missed because you guys were carrying on like pork chops. I couldn't believe it. It was just one person was down, and then you all thought you'd. I was actually getting worried. It was going to be like the scenes of an NCAA. Cross country where they're literally pulling people off because there's so many people coming through at once and people are getting in the way and they're
I'm like, we're going to get up because someone's going to run over us in spikes soon. Like someone's going to come through and like, I'm surprised no officials yelled at us actually. Like usually it'd be like, get up, get out of here. Like,
there was a lady there definitely raising her voice, but I think you guys were that.
Yeah.
You were just having that much of a lactic acid headache. You just didn't hear it.
Well, you were probably 30 seconds up and could enjoy the last K. We were like, there was 10 guys surging at different times over the last K in our race, which the last K did include two uphills and a pretty nice downhill. So it was like, it just messed with the rhythm and it was like hard.
How'd you find coming through those vines on the last lap? Were you, what'd you think of that?
Yeah, so in our team meeting on the Friday, we were told by you that to take for listeners to paint the picture, you're running in a straight line and you're about to turn left to go down a hill and there's two options where you can take two rows through the grapes, through the vineyards. And our instructions from Bendigo Bats, from the locals, was to take the furthest one, which means you had to run a bit further, but take the second left-hand turn down the vineyards because at the bottom there was a right-hand turn and being on the right-hand side gives you the inside line at the end. I think that's what the thinking was, wasn't it?
Yeah, and because the way the vineyards are set up on the end we exited, they're actually on an angle, which means if you compared one end to the other end, there's actually probably 50 metres difference. So there's probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 metres difference as they go along, as the lines get longer. So the thinking was to be on the right-hand side, so therefore you turned on the inside, but you also had to, you probably lost... probably 5 meters, but you continue with the story.
So well, on the first lap, and that's the thing, like it's a bit of difference where I am because there's 20 bodies around, not like two or three like yours, but I was actually leading our pack on the first lap because I put in a bit of a move going up the hill, just to try to sort a few guys out at that stage of the race, which I think we dropped a few because I look back at some of the photos, I'm like, oh, the pack was bigger before that hill than afterwards. And I took the furthest one. And I've talked to a few other guys in that pack, they followed me. But what happened is a few guys took the inside, that first left-hand turn, and then halfway down the hill, there was an area you could cut across. So I'm running down the hill leading this pack and looking at these guys over to my left on the other side of the grapes, and I'm thinking, oh, all good, I've got them covered. These guys don't know, no local knowledge. And then all of a sudden they dart in front of me because there was a section where they could, zigzag through. And then I was pretty much cursing you in my head. I'm like, hang on, Andy, you didn't tell us about this little secret kind of like path halfway down the hill that you can cut in through. So that's why I did the first lap. The second lap, I'm like, nah, I'm taking the first one and I'm cutting through. Which was good because I was dropped at that stage and it kind of got me back into contention to go down the hill.
Yeah.
So it was fun though. It's fun that cross country courses, you got to think like that.
Yeah. Were you getting worried? Like, were you in a bit of a pack where were you worried that someone was in front of you on that second lap and you weren't going to get past them, or what was,
So that was one thing. So because Thorpe and Doug were in front of me going into the vineyards, and they both took the second one, your favorite one.
Yep.
And then because I took the first turn, it just meant I had like free run and free sight, which is important in cross country. Like all of a sudden you're not following people's footsteps. You can see exactly where your feet are going. I was never worried about not being able to get out. And I think at that stage of the race as well, it was real, you know, hold your cards close to your chest, because once you turn, you're in that home straight and it's a sprint for the finish. I think a lot of guys were kind of recovering down that hill, and just it was really the calm before the storm.
Yeah, I was getting a bit nervous coming down on the second time because I was about to lap two guys, and I was and they were in the lane I was in, and I was like, if they see a bit of a hole and just step to the right as I'm coming through, like there's not going to be any room here. So I was getting a bit nervous coming down, and I was like, oh, geez, what's going to happen here? But thankfully, I think with Virginia on the mic, they heard that I was kind of coming through, and they kind of moved right over to the left. Because for people listening, it's probably, I reckon, a meter and a half between each.
Oh, yeah. On the warm-up, we were talking about, like, putting people into the vines. Like, you know, you could really be, I'm not sure why I was talking like that. I have no, like, male masculinity going about me at all, but we were talking about, like, you just kind of veer off a bit and just throw the elbow out a bit, and all of a sudden someone's in the whole stack of grapevines and you're running free.
Yeah, well, I was chatting to Matt Buckle, and he said that Brian Keeley, Benio runner, very good orienteer, he was running along in the first lap going through the first vines, and he said Brian just come out of nowhere, and it was like he was running nearly on top of the grapes. He was just bashing through because everyone was like real careful, whereas because he's used to orienteer, and he said he nearly started laughing out loud because it was so funny.
But, I wouldn't expect anything less from him as well.
Yeah, exactly. But how about our Div 1 team got the win there, which is good. So we go, what are we, four points ahead? Div 4.
Oh, sorry, yeah, on the ladder. So we've won two races now, so we got 12 and 12 points. So we're on 24 points on the ladder. Western A's been second both times, haven't they? So they've got a 10 and 10.
Yes.
Yep. So they're on 20 points. We're on 24. Box Hill have been third both times as well, so they've got a 9 and 9 and 18. So we've got a little buffer here, which is nice. St. Stephen's, though, you'd nearly put a line through them, wouldn't you, for the season? Dropped to 6 this round. Only 6 points.
That's not great.
I
think Jack Davies was scoring for them, so they know they're in trouble when he's in their top six. So
he was 117th, I reckon, if he was their sixth guy. Which kind of, you know, there's some teams in here like Box Hill, their last run at 86. Glen Huntley, their last run at 74th. Melbourne Uni, 63. St. Stephen's, 117th. Geelong, 99th. And then you go to our Div 4 team. We had 43rd, 61st, 64th, 66th, 95th. So a lot of our Div 4 boys would be fitting into pretty much any other Div 1 team, Premier Division team.
Yeah, it's
they won by 600 points.
It's a good sight for us. But then again, we've got to remember this is our home round. So if we didn't do well...
But in saying that, I reckon all those six guys would have travelled as well.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing about the team at the moment. We've got such buy-in from so many. We had nearly everyone plus a few more at Gels, and then again this weekend just gone. So it's a good spot to be in. I'm actually quite impressed with Geelong region to get seventh in Div 1. That's they've got to be happy with that. I think as soon as they score, they're pretty happy once they can get six runners. So
Well,
good
they
to
got
see.
the real they got the real solid two, like Matty Gunther and Toby Mendy. Like Toby coming 17th, Matty Gunther, like they're two quality, you know, probably 14:30 guys, 14:25 guys. Matty Gunther's around 221, Toby's around 219. Like they're going to be strong over the longer stuff as well. Who is their 31st guy? Because that's pretty solid. Like anywhere in the top 30 is a good result in AV. Coughlin, who I don't know much about. But so he's a handy pickup because he's come in front of like Toby O'Brien, Archie Reid.
He was registered for Ballarat last year.
Oh yeah, they've gutted that whole team in Ballarat, haven't they?
Absolutely. Jeez, Mon is not happy. Someone's just come through and stolen the whole cross country team. So
Ballarat actually did it right in ninth. Like they were expected to kind of be 10th and 11th. So that might help them avoid relegation because two teams are going down to Divi 2 this year. But yeah. that Div 4 team, like Brian McGinley, who was in our team at Charles Park, he was their first runner in 43rd. Then who do we have else in there?
Brian Keeley.
Yep, in 61st.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Glenn McMillan in 64th, Steve Van Reeve 66th. So these guys are all having a race within a race here.
Yeah.
Nigel Preston 97th.
Yeah. And so it's pretty exciting. Then if you have a look at Div 7.
Yeah, I did the other day. First, second, third, and fourth.
Oh, that's wonderful. So I don't know, just because we just talk shit on this, we're going to talk about Div 7. So Div 7, our first team, so four athletes for Div 7. We scored 476 points. The team that came fifth behind our four teams was Kilo St. Bernard's in 1,207. So it's it makes for good reading, actually, to have four teams in there. So that's quite funny.
Led up by Chris Armstrong, first finisher there for that team, 113. Yeah. I reckon Chris would have a sneaky goal. I know you coach him. To be top 100 before the season's out, get a 99th place.
I think that'll happen. He's learning more and more about cross country. So, yeah, I think it'll definitely happen sometime soon.
A successful day all round. Anything else you got to add? Nice course. We'll have a chat about the women's team as well because they absolutely dominated as well. They're in our Div 4, the women.
Yes, they are. So,
you got it open there?
Yeah, so they won Div 4. Very easily. So three athletes there. They scored 111 points.
So is Div 4 only three athletes?
For women, yes.
Yeah, I think Div 3 is four, and then Div 2 is four, and then women's Premier Division is five. That's interesting. It changes so much.
I'm still trying to work out the teams for the men and how many they require, so I'm not across the... I'm definitely not across the women's just yet, but I think this was actually run of the day. Alice Wilkinson, long time runner for the Bats. She placed 21st, which is a massive run for her. It's the highest she's ever ran and placed. So I think she led the team home really well there. She's actually helping out Virginia as the women's team captain, which is pretty special. So that was massive run from her. I actually couldn't believe she ran that fast. So she was our first runner there in 21st. In 30th position, we had Rebecca Wilkinson. So she's on the way up, trail runner, turned into a cross-country runner. So first time wearing spikes, and obviously paid off quite well. And then our third runner there in 60th was Vanessa Bull. So she's a new runner for us. So it's awesome to see those girls doing well. And yeah, it's a good little battle there. I think Div 4, they're probably a Div, maybe a Div 2 team, so they should progress through this division and hopefully follow a similar path as what the men did a few years ago.
Yeah, because you look at the winners of Div 3, 66, 69th, 83, 102nd. Mm. So, like, there's a case to be made that, you know, they could maybe miss Div 3 next year, go straight to Div 2, especially when Virginia Maloney is still to come into that team.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, then, Commonwealth Games marathon representative once she gets rolling.
Yeah, you look at some of the juniors as well, so it's only going to get better, which is pretty good. So it was, I don't know, results-wise, a pretty successful day, but then I think overall the event, I don't know, Brady, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, great event. Love the live music, love the Bluetooth speakers, love the Strava segments. I love that video that you guys put on the Bats Instagram page yesterday. Like, that stuff's just fun. Like, it's really, it's not rocket science, but it's what works in different aspects of our sport. So, for example, like you go to any big fun run, there's music. Okay,
yep.
Let's put Bluetooth speakers throughout the courses. Easy. Yeah, incorporate that. Strava's really important. People love doing Strava segments. Let's put a couple of those on course. Sign, here's where it starts, here's where it ends. All those kind of things. Like, it's, I think this is what, and it's probably a bigger conversation, is like, how do you improve this XCR season? Like, there's 10 rounds, there's good buy-in by the clubs. How do you just do some tweaks to make it better? Because it is the, I was just talking to Jessica Stenson today, and she was saying, like, how in envy the other states are when they're here, yeah. And Moose and I talk about it, and like how they wish their states had it. I did reply to her comment saying that, you know, there's always a singlet for the Bendigo Bats there if she wants it. Her and Virginia Maloney running around in Div 4 would be quite a sight to see. But it's those kind of things that it's like, you need to be innovative and kind of improve. And I think Bendigo and the organisers, who I'm not one of them, so I'm not pumping up my own tyres. You guys, you're on the committee there. I think you're going to need to pat yourselves on the back and be like, you know, this was good, this was innovative. The fact that you could just get a beer after the race and you could get a burger or a pizza or whatever it was, like that's, and maybe it was because it was our home race and we didn't have to get in the car and drive for 2 hours home. Like, you could sit and relax and enjoy those kind of things. But I don't know any other race where that's even on offer.
Yeah, it's, we, when we first were like, all right, yeah, we found a suitable spot. AV were keen. We initially said, let's make something that makes people remember this race. So when they're driving home, they go, oh, geez, that was really cool. Or, oh, that was different. So that's where we, I don't know, like, I spoke to you multiple times and was just like, what are your ideas? Any big ideas, just let us know. And we just implemented a few of those. We really hope we can build on it next year. But like, one thing I've always found after an XCR race, you're always so hungry because your race is normally 1 o'clock. You haven't really had lunch. You've had a late breakfast and there's never any food around. So it's like, that was a no-brainer. Like, why would you not have a food truck? And then obviously being in a winery, we had, they want to have people through. So that was really, that worked really well. And then the Strava segments, we had that idea. And then Nigel, who was one of the key people in setting it up, he actually runs the O'Keefe challenge, which they had the same idea for their event. So and it was just, and I don't know, if you haven't seen it, check out the Bendigo Bats Instagram page for the drone footage. We got super lucky that the drone was just there at the perfect time that Jake Stevens made this massive run to try and get the segment there. So it was really just perfect timing, and made it look like we'd organized it perfectly. But
I did love how the video had the little circle following him through. You know, when you watch like old, like police chases, and it's like, yeah, from dodgy like footage from a helicopter up in the sky, and it's like there's so many cars on the highway, like which one are we meant to be following, which one's breaking the law? That's what it looked like as well, like he was doing the wrong thing. You know, some people could say he did, because he obviously jogged or took it pretty easy at that stage and then just fanged the whole segment. Because the people he is running past, he's making them look like they're jogging And they're quality guys who are coming 50th. Like, they're good runners.
So I was actually super stoked because I think he rolled me by 2 seconds, I think. And I was very happy that everyone who won a segment didn't actually win the race. So, like, they were all different people. It wasn't Georgia or myself that won all of them, because that would have been a bit boring. So it was pretty cool to see that. And I really hope that becomes a normal part. And every XCR race we go to, there's something a little bit quirky, something a bit different, something to mix it up, because it's, I don't know, I really hope people enjoyed it, and I really hope it made the drive up the Calder Freeway worthwhile, hopefully. So, yeah, it was good fun.
That was good. A good wrap. Hey, we've got some listener questions here to go through to finish off. Thanks to the people that wrote into the Bendigo Bats Instagram page. I'll do my best to read them correctly. I am doing this live as we go. If I don't get your name correct, I'm sorry, or your Instagram handle. There's often some random handles out there, but we'll see how this goes. First question comes in from, I think it's Brandon. Could be Brendan. Brandon. It says, what's the ratio of spikes out there in a cross-country race? Are people thrashing their dragonflies? Were there any XCSs? Which I suppose, XCS, I think he means, I'm guessing at this, but when we finished the race, I saw some people in these new Nike spikes, which I'd seen once before. I'm not sure if you noticed Athletics New South Wales last 2 weeks ago when Benny Saint and Kieran Tall did a cross country race up there. They had these spikes on, kind of like meshy Nike white that kind of looks like it's been attacked with white out. And I think they're the new cross country dragonflies in a way. I'm pretty sure it was Toby Mende, who works at the running company in Ballarat, who was telling me about that at the finish line. And what I can remember him saying was it's a bit thicker than the dragonflies. So the first part of the question, what ratio of spikes out there? I'd say the further you get from the pointy end, the ratio changes. Everyone in the top 50, 60 has got spikes on.
Yep, I'd agree.
And then it starts to drop off. You might have 1 in 10 who doesn't have spikes on, 2 in 10 from 70 through to 80, things like that. Not to say, people aren't wearing spikes further on down, but you do spot the occasional pair of Alpha Flies or Dragon or Next Percenters, things like that, which I'm not sure how they get around those courses, but, you know, each to their own. Everyone's body's different. And some people are, like, I know Zaka, he wears, like, waffles, not the spikes, just because he doesn't think his body can handle running 8K in spikes.
Due to age.
Due to age, the 40-year-old is in the 40-plus section now, Zach Newman, friend of the show. So, any comments there?
Yeah, I don't know. I always wear spikes for any cross-country, especially on that one, because that's deep downhill and those tight turns. And I just have a pair of old dragonflies that I think I wore in maybe a Zatopek and another race, and they're just my cross-country shoes now, so... I've got another pair of dragonflies I'll wear for a track race, and these are just like a training shoe. So they get a little bit beat up. I kind of buy new spikes probably every cross country season, and that, I don't know, that keeps them fine and they're still going. They've probably, I reckon these dragonflies have got another season in them, then they'll probably be pretty done. But I could not imagine running that course in Alpha Flies.
See, I'm wearing my one pair of dragonflies. I'm just thrashing them.
Yeah, I
don't do a lot of track racing. So I'm just like, I'm not going to buy a new pair just for cross country. Like, if I maybe run track this season, I'll buy a new pair of dragonflies. But this is the same pair, stall, track 5Ks, Sydney 10K a couple of years ago when Victoria was locked down, but I was in New South Wales and go up there. So this is my OG pair of dragonflies, which sorry to interrupt, but I reckon it's not like wearing spikes on the track. Like, I'm not getting sore calves from wearing spikes on a cross-country course like I would on a track.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I wore my dragonflies last year, and then for Zatopek, I had a new pair, and I was like, these feel like a different pair of shoes. Okay. Like, they were... I couldn't believe how flat my old ones were compared to these new ones. So... I think it definitely does take the life out of them, but I think when you just get used to it, it's just normal. But when I put on this new pair for Zatopek, I was like, holy shit, these feel amazing, kind of thing. So
I'm not seeing much on Google about this Dragonfly, like, cross-country version, the ones that I'm talking about. People were wearing. Maybe there's, like, these shoe dogs have just got it early and it's coming soon. But, yeah Brandon maybe. Dan, to your question, everyone's just flogging their track Dragonflies out there. Which are nice. Like, I'll put it this way. I'm enjoying the Dragonfly more in a cross-country race than I am the track. Because I was a real next percent guy on the track. And then when the Dragonfly came out, I'm like, oh, this is going to be like the next percent, but with spikes in it. And it wasn't. It was like a spike that just had a tiny bit more cushioning. So I was like, This isn't as good. And I'd banged all my PBs on the next percent before they got banned. So I didn't have a great extent. And I haven't ran many decent track races in the Dragonfly, but I've done some good cross-country races in the Dragonfly. So that's a cross-country spike for me, that shoe.
I agree 100%.
The next one. This comes in from Tony. So Moose, this is where he's got this from. So Moose on Inside Running a couple of weeks ago spoke about the premiership t-shirts. We're bringing this up after two rounds. So when I ran for Geelong back in the day, we got a premiership t-shirt organised, and it had all the names of people on the back. And to get your name on the back of it for the season, you had to have scored one point at least for the premiership team throughout the year. I'm going to say there was a good 15, 20 names on the Geelong one, which showed the depth. Yep. Like, you know, someone might have ran 1 or 2 weeks, scored a point, bang, that's all you saw from them for the season, but they contributed to the team in some way to get their name on the T-shirt when the premiership was decided and Geelong won it at the end of the year. His question is, prediction, how many names will the Bendigo Bats potentially get on their T-shirt if they win the season? So at the moment, we're up to 7.
So the real question is, how many people are going to be getting the bat tat on them? How many people are going to be in the tattoo line on the day that we win the premiership?
I think there's some people in our, like, over 40, over 50 teams who won't score a point but are pretty keen to get a bat tattooed on them.
Yeah, that's true.
I reckon single one of those guys that scored on the weekend for Div 7 will be getting a bat tattooed on.
They'll get one for winning the Div 7 premiership.
Yeah.
But I reckon I'm going to say 14 is the number that I'll throw out. Because I just think when you think about it, we've got 10 relays, we've got this Heckenen one, and then you've also got half marathon. So 14 is going to be the number of different athletes I think we'll have in to score for our Div 1 team. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I thought initially when I read this question, I'm like, oh, it could be, you know, it could be the same 6, same 7, maybe same 8 throughout the whole year. Like, I can see one or two juniors maybe coming in for a 10 relay or the cross-country relays in round 4 where there's, like, different distances. But I think the range of our top 4 and 5, and remember, only 5 people score at the half marathon. That's only a 5 people scoring round. But, like, I think it's hard to knock a Matt Buckle out over 6K relays or 10 relays. I can see him being in there the whole season. I can see you obviously being in there the whole season, you know, pending going overseas potentially. I can see me, Nathan Archie, being in there the whole season. Like, I can't, just because we can run a good 3K, but we can also run a good half marathon. I don't think we've got many specialists at either end of the spectrum with the different distances over the season. So initially I'm like, oh, we might be like 8 or 9 for the season, but we're a team also that hasn't been struck by COVID yet. Like, I don't think anyone in our top 6 has had COVID. And you assume it's coming. So, like, the pandemic's going to, you know, an infection's going to roll through the team. 1 or 2 people will get injured and miss some rounds. There's other life stuff that can potentially come up. So, yeah, I agree. I'm probably more closer to 10, 12 than 14. But because hopefully the lower, you know, ideally, that means the stronger you are and the more consistent you are. So, good question.
Yeah, exactly.
Less space it takes up on the T-shirts, yeah. And I'm sure tracking it throughout the year on this podcast is going to be a good experiment. And you hear, you know, you've heard the Beast's name coming into the team this time. You heard Brian's last time. So there's new characters still to be introduced. What's Andy's training looked like post-marathon? We're already talking about that one, so we'll skip that one. It's 2 rounds in. This is from Sean. 2 rounds in, who do you see as your biggest threat? Which rounds are you looking forward to? Well, Western A's are going to be the biggest threat, don't they? They're the ones who have showed up both rounds.
Yeah, Western A's, I think Box Hill, if they can get their A team on the park. But I think Western A's our biggest threat. And, yeah, I don't know. For me, I was really looking forward to the Bendigo round. That was the A race for me kind of thing. But outside of that, I always enjoy going to Bundoora because we didn't get to do that last year. We got to do a few, but then we missed. So I like Bundoora. It's always, you always seem to get a few of the better athletes, which is good. And it's a massive day with the juniors, like all schools, and then the state champs. So that's probably the one I'm looking forward to. What about you, Brady? Who do you think's the biggest competition?
I actually think Box Hill are a bigger threat than Western A's because I think what we're seeing from Western A's at the moment, like they, you know, Jack's not going to come back, but Cashin will potentially. So that's one guy to come in. But I'm looking at like Box Hill's score for the weekend. They didn't have Nick Baggett, who ran similar time to me at Charles Park. So they had second and fourth. So they could have potentially had sixth or seventh as well. So three guys, you know, in the top seven is similar to what we did. Had Alex Ritchie, who he raced on the weekend. He was 18th, but he also beat me at Charles Park. So like he's, you know, potentially had a bit of a shocker there. So he could have also been top 10. So I think when those four fire, and they're four guys that aren't going to go overseas, and not going to go to Europe, they're going to be here all winter, they can be a team that has four guys in the top 10. And then they had 41st and 67th. So they're kind of maybe not the depth we've got, but they've got also Thomas Diamond, who's a freak junior, who can run a good relay leg. Like you put him in potentially Sandown 10 relays, cross-country relays, and he's going to be hard to match. But I guess the flip side of that as well, Doug Buckeridge, who was fourth, he's a junior kid racing up. He's not going to race up at Bundoora 10. He's not going to race up at the half. He's not going to run 15K. So they're going to lose that top 10 finisher there as well. But yeah, everyone on the park, I think they're actually harder to beat than Western A's.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I was actually surprised by Western A's. It's a good effort to have such a close team there come all the way up to Bendigo, especially a team that's based out of Melbourne. They're used to travelling to Melbourne races and all that kind of stuff. But what race are you looking forward to?
If you asked me at the start of the season, I'd be like, just give me the road stuff. Like, give me a bit of rhythm. Give me some 15K Ballarat. Give me some Burnley Half. I haven't done Burnley Half for quite a few years. I don't think maybe 6 or 7 years. So I am looking forward to that. But I'm liking the cross country. I think I'm weird because I kind of pegged myself as like our fourth, fifth runner for the year. But I'm at that stage now where I'm like, if one of these top guys doesn't rock up, I could potentially be a chance to get a medal. And the ones they're not going to rock up to could potentially be like the 12K cross country. So it's like, yeah, like I was in a race for fourth, take someone else out. Maybe I'm in a race for third. The distance goes from 8K to 12K, which should suit me. Yeah, I'm kind of looking now at which race could I finish the highest in, and I think it's probably the 12K cross country could be my race for the season. So, nice. Not this week. The Launceston's next weekend, and then the 12K cross country. So, that's probably the one. And Sandown Relays, I like that team building. It's different world in the relays there. So, some good ones still to come for sure. The next one is from a boy called Ned Buckle. He got an update on Ned. Listeners will know him. He's the twin, the Matt Buckle, Ned Buckle duo. Had a operation on his hip earlier in the season. Did break 15 minutes, I think, throughout the year, didn't he? Like, had a really good push me to the absolute limit at the Vic Country Championships, where we sprinted down the straight for first and second. Update on him for listeners.
Yeah, so he had surgery on his hip. He has an appointment on the 7th, so next week. To see if he can start weight bearing. So at the moment he's been walking around with a crutch, so he can't fully weight bear. But he took 1,000 photos, I reckon, on Saturday, put them in the Dropbox Saturday night, came out on Sunday morning, took some photos at a long run. So he's still engaged and involved, and he's hoping that this next appointment next week goes well and he can start to do some weight bearing exercises and then go from there. So really, he has no idea how it's going at the moment, so he'll just wait and see how this appointment goes and go from there. But it is good to see that he's getting involved with the team, because that'd be super hard as a young kid having an injury like that. So, yeah.
So potential to see him in a singlet towards the back end of the season.
Maybe. Yeah, but that'd be exciting.
He's got 10 years to come in the singlets. So, yeah, but you're right, must be. And I did send him a message the other week, like, would have been easy for him to, like, shuttle this off. Like, he should be in. He would be in this team if he was injury-free, if it was 12 months ago, probably if it's 12 months in the future. And he kind of, like, has got to watch us and chooses to take photos of us having success. He could block all that out and go off the rails, get on the beers.
Yeah.
Not be interested at all, but still involved. So his question is, what's the goal for merchandise in the short to mid future? I've got no idea about merch. What's the merch update?
That's a loaded question. so we actually are looking to get some cotton tees, just nice basic kind of supporter tees. So they're in the design process. So I think, I'm not sure how far away they are, but that is something we're looking to do, and that will be available to everyone. So that's something to look out for from Ernie Old. So they actually do a cotton range. So that's coming. And then we are also looking at having the bath tee and making a slight little difference to it, and make that available to the general punters. So, Ernie Old are having a few issues with their supplier and fabric coming out of Europe. So that's a bit of a hold up at the moment. But
worldwide in every industry. See, they like haven't got Australian uniforms for the Oceania champs this week. They didn't arrive in time.
Not
good. Imagine making your very first Australian team, you don't get a uniform.
Yeah, that's not great.
I guess you'd get it. You just wouldn't be able to compete in it. We'll keep you posted about merch. Adam asks, what do we have to do to get Andy his Australian singlet? Nothing you can do, Adam. Just sit, just pray to the running gods out there that he gets one. Stay tuned for more news there as well. Kind of spoken about that at the start of this show. Neil asks, how does someone like me, in brackets, not skinny, stay injury-free? Neil_thehulkrunner is his handle on Instagram. Load management's important, Neil. Get a coach, manage your load. Get a coach and make sure they're one of the coaches that, like, call you, chat through your goals, chat through your running history, all those kind of things, like a good coach should at the start of a coaching-athlete relationship. And manage your load. You're talking to two guys here who have been very little injured over the last, I think I'm 18 years in a row, no injury. Rolled ankles. You would be a good 10, 15 years, I reckon, of like maybe one or two injuries.
Yep.
And I think the big thing is load management. Know what your body can handle. Don't go over it. You know, you trial and error stuff, and when things flare up, you make adjustments. Anything else to add there, Andy?
I'd just go right into Google and I'd type in run to PB, and then you'd be right.
Run2pb.co. There's about 16 good coaches there who we can highly recommend because we both work for that company. But yeah, I think load management's important. I think having a good diet's important, so you're making sure you're getting enough fuel in. So you're kind of, making sure your bones and muscles and all that are recovering. And managing, running is very simple. It's about stressing the body, recovering, absorbing it, stressing again. So that might be, slowing your easy days down because you're still trying to absorb or recover from a workout you've done the night before. So a coach will know all those kind of paces and all that kind of load management. If you don't want a coach, I'll just educate yourself as much as possible. Listen to good podcasts, read good books, do those kind of things. Thanks for the question, though, Neil. Next one, Nathan Pierce, friend of the show, captain of the Western Athletics team. He stayed in Bendigo at your place on Saturday night. Actually, Andy, enjoying the Bendigo bats for a long run. Very impressed by the views over One Tree Hill, which was good.
He loved it.
Most famous because he's Leanne Pierce's son. So Leanne's a big running fan in Australia and one of the biggest listeners to the Inside Running podcast, the other podcast I do. And Nathan just happens to be her son. Also, Roaming Nath, people might know him from that. So his question is, should Athletics Victoria focus more on fan engagement at cross-country rounds? Good question, Nathan.
I think so. I think the XCR season just goes so well. AV haven't looked to do anything different. And I think it goes so well because it's supported by the athletes. But I think AV should be looking to introduce some new ways they can make it a bit more exciting, which has happened with the Bendigo round. And hopefully they continue to do that. And I don't know. I think the video package they put out is really good. They get that out really quickly, which is awesome.
They need to change that music, though. What's with like the 1985 like jazz at the start of it?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make
sense.
The footage
is good and the commentary is good, but they just got to like change that music. They need to get with the times. Put a bit of techno or like hip hop beat or something over that.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I think it's an awesome product, and I think if they could deliver it to a few more fans, I don't think that community 3K thing really worked, but. I'm not sure
they
about
tried,
that.
They tried, though. They tried that. Weren't huge numbers there, but they tried something new, which was good. And they gave Bendigo the opportunity to try stuff new, which is good. What I'd like to see, Nathan, is AV be more, with the fan engagement, do more promo around the athletes running and the team battles and like what to watch there. I thought it was really good that Virginia Maloney, and I guess, you know, she's a Bendigo bat who was on the mic, Commonwealth Games representative 2018 at the marathon. She introduced the main players in the race on the start line. So she went through, you know, people who are going to finish the top 10. I thought that was good. And I'd love to see that on Instagram in the 2 or 3 days leading up. I'd love to see like blogs or, you know, potential articles written by someone at AV talking what Tim Crosby did on this show when we asked him to come on 2 or 3 weeks ago. Like, I want to read, you know, how Bendigo went from being the hunters to the hunted. I want to read that, like, Geelong have bounced back and come, you know, seventh this round. I want to read stuff like that about the rivalries and who's in, who's out, like you do with every other sport. Like, I kind of liked how you had to enter the round so then you could see who you were up against. Like, the minute they've closed up those entries, you know who's on the line. Like, start promoting the competition as much as the participation, which might piss some people off because it's like, you know, and I think they are under the directive now that, like, hey, our social media needs to be inclusive. It needs to be less intimidating. Let's show pictures of all ability athletes, which is amazing, but, like, also, this is the highest level of cross-country competition in Australia. So you've got that strength. You need to use that as well. And I'm not just saying that because we're winning.
Yeah.
I don't want people just writing articles on us just because we're the best team at the moment. But it's like, so how do you get fan engagement is you get buy-in. That's the whole reason we're sitting here doing this podcast at the moment. Like, I think last week's episode had something like 1,500 listeners. So that's, 1,500 potential Bendigo Bat fans we've got. That's like, so there's an appetite for engagement there that I think they need to make the most of. And then, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, we always whinge that we don't get enough media coverage. But let's say there is a media release written up. Why don't you just send it to, like, 30 newspapers? All the little local newspapers, like, yeah, the Herald Sun and the Age in Melbourne probably aren't going to pick it up. But, like, what happens if there's papers out there who do want content? You know, you send it to the local Western Athletics paper. You send it to the little Box Hill newspaper. The Bendigo paper do a great job. Like, yeah, it's not that hard, is it?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think now that they have those entries, it'd be perfect to see on a Friday night or a Thursday night. These people are running. We're excited to see this head-to-head. This team's shaping up really well, and yeah, get that buy-in. Like, we've kind of done a little bit with our team aspect, so
you should have plenty to do of things the same to work on. For the relays, you should have to do the same. Thursday night, submit your team and their order, and then it's like, oh shit, Andy's running third leg for Bendigo. That's strange. Usually runs first or last, or he's gonna, you know, Jack Rayner's a second, so they're not gonna clash. But hey, there's gonna be a huge clash, and we're expecting Bendigo to be down coming into the third leg. Will Andy be able to make it up against Nathan Pearce from Western A's? Like, that stuff is, you know, because that's why other sports, they do it so well. How many footy shows are there on the Thursday or Friday night before the round starts? And then the Sunday morning and the Sunday night after the round's finished. Like, it's, I don't mean to be like that full on, but there's opportunities to do stuff like that, I think. Second last question. What's it like to be undefeated? This one comes from Matt.
Yeah, good, it's good.
Good feeling, Matt.
He actually asked, are we going to beat this morning on the run? He said, do you reckon we'll go the whole season winning every round? And I said, oh, I don't think so. But he's keen. I love it.
And there's another Comm Games one, but we've spoken about that. And this one comes from Phoebe Lonsdale. Who is the Bats underdog? What does this mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who's someone that, like, the listeners might not know? Just goes about their business, keeps a low profile.
Well, like, yeah, one person that springs to mind, but everyone knows him, is the Beast. But I'd say Alice Wilkinson. She finished 21st. So that's a big unknown. But then in the men's team, I'd say Brian Keeley, first race in probably a year. Not much training. So he's someone to look out for.
If it was 12 months ago, I'd say Nathan Stoat. I don't think anyone in Australia knew, or in the running circles, had heard of him. But now he's got some times on the board, people know about him. Yeah, I reckon Brian McGinley as well. Like, snuck in, we started talking about him. He's sixth runner at Gels Park. He's only going to get fitter, and he's hungry. Like, he's determined. He's newish to running compared to the majority. Like, didn't grow up, I don't think, like, running a lot. Like, he's just getting more and more into running. Had a really good half marathon at Melbourne, which was a bit of a breakthrough. Expect more to come from him. Hopefully by the end of this season, no one's an underdog in, like, you know, the stories of everyone. Start getting some guests on. Andy, we've talked a heap of shit. I thought this was going to be like 25, 30 minutes, but I reckon that's going to be like an hour and 5 minutes. But thank you for your time. Anything to leave us with? At Bendigo Bats on Instagram if you want to keep up to date with Bat Chat. Do it all in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, get pumped for Cruden Farm. So hopefully they can live up to the Bats round.
Yeah, hopefully. Who's in charge? AV in charge of organising that?
I think so. We'll wait and see.
That'd be good. All right, mate. Happy training. Hopefully we get some good news in the next couple of days.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.